our thoughts tonight. To introduce them, we'd like to turn in the Hebrew letter for just a few verses to introduce the thoughts of the evening. Hebrews 9, beginning at verse 22, we read this: "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." The words of the Apostle Paul to the Hebrews in the Hebrew letter. And so we find Jesus Christ himself having three ministries. We find three ministries of our Lord revealed in the Scripture. There was his earthly ministry, there is his heavenly ministry, and there will be his new earthly ministry. The first earthly ministry was when he was the sacrifice. And this is the very basis for our salvation. And now he sits in his heavenly ministry, where he is the power giver, where we can receive power and strength and guidance from God through him. And this is the very application of our salvation. And then when he comes again, when he sets up his new earthly ministry, when he will be king and ruler, then that will be the consummation or the finality of our salvation. Our salvation will then be final. And so our salvation is based on all three of these ministries. All are of greatest importance. In his first earthly ministry, he was the suffering sacrifice. He is called the spotless Lamb of God. He was the one, the only one, who was without spot and without blemish. And even though he is called the Lamb of God, in the same time he is also called the Good Shepherd. And I think one night here we use these verses in John 10, about the 11th verse, where he says, "I am the Good Shepherd of the sheep." And so he's called the Good Shepherd. Therefore, we have salvation from the penalty of sin through this Lamb of God who was willing to, spotless Lamb of God who was willing to give his life a sacrifice for each of us. We remember the golden text of the Bible. It's often called the golden text of the Bible in John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then in the Galatian letter, we read in Galatians, the third chapter, beginning at about the 26th verse, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And so if we accept this first earthly ministry, this sacrifice of our Savior on the cross, then we can be in the line for these promises and these inheritances which were given to Abraham and to his seed, which is Christ. We also read in the Roman letter, I believe it's about the 8th chapter in the 1st verse, which says, "Therefore is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." And so if we're in Christ Jesus, then we're no longer stand condemned before him, but we stand whole and clean before him. Also, in Acts 4:12, we read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so we must accept this earthly ministry of our Savior when he came and lived a sinless life and yet died on the cross for each of us. And so he did die on the cross. He was buried. And God, through his great power, was able to raise him from the dead. And now he sits at the right hand of God as our mediator, as our go-between, as our intercessor. In Romans, the 8th chapter, and verse 34, the last part of the 34th verse, we read, it is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And so if we are in Christ now, we have him as our mediator, making intercession for us. We find that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, from 1 Timothy 2:5. There's one God, there's one mediator between God and man, and that is his very Son, Christ Jesus. And so as in his earthly ministry he was called the Good Shepherd, now in his heavenly ministry, as he sits at the right hand of God, he is called the Great Shepherd. I'd like to turn to Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so as he was called the Good Shepherd in his earthly ministry, he is now the Great Shepherd as he is in his heavenly ministry. And so he sits at the right hand of God. But we know that he is coming again to this earth. We remember in the first chapter of Acts, and we probably will turn to it so we don't misquote it, but in Acts 1, after he told his disciples to be witnesses for him, then he ascended into heaven. And we'd like to read verses 9 through 11 of Acts 1. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And so even as Jesus ascended into heaven by the power of God, so will he come again in like manner and will set his foot upon the Mount of Olives. He will then begin his new earthly ministry. The earth will then finally be restored to its Edenic condition. Sin will be abolished. And then, as he sits here to reign and rule, it will be called not the Good Shepherd, not the Great Shepherd, but he will be called the Chief Shepherd. We find in Peter, in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter and the 4th verse, and when the Chief Shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. When this Chief Shepherd comes back to this earth, then we can receive that crown of glory, which we will have forever. It will be eternal life. It will be a continuing thing. He will then be King of Kings. He will now sit upon that throne of his father David, which was overturned, until he should come, whose right it was to sit thereon. As we read in Isaiah the prophet, and we could read it in many, many places throughout the Old Testament, but in the 9th chapter of Isaiah, we often use this at the Christmas season when we talk about the birth of Jesus. We read, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And so as he comes and sits upon that throne that has been promised from time, from all through the Old Testament. Then he will sit as King of Kings. He will sit as ruler upon that throne of his father David. And then later on in the book of Luke, when the angel of the Lord appeared unto Mary, even before she had conceived, and told her that she would bear a son, he even told her at that time that this one would rule over the kingdom forever and ever. And we read in Luke 1, verses 30 through 33. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And then we read on, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And so we look forward to that time when Jesus will come again and will reign and rule a kingdom of which there will be no end. There will be eternal life, and we can reign and rule together with him as kings and priests and have eternal life. And so we have his first ministry, his second ministry, and his third ministry, and all of them are of utmost importance. We must have part in the first ministry when he was a suffering sacrifice. We must accept that ministry if we are to have part in the second and third ministry. And we must have part in both the first and second to have a part in that great new earthly ministry which will come about when he returns to this earth again. And so we go to the scripture lesson that we read earlier for you from the ninth chapter of Hebrews, and we find in here these three ministries born out again. In verses 25 and 26, we find regarding his first appearing or his earthly ministry. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies every year with blood of others. Remember, the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies each year with the blood of a lamb as a sacrifice for sin. Not that he should do this, he says, every year, for then must he often have suffered but since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And so this Jesus was sacrificed once and for all for you and for me and for all of us. He is the only one who lived on this earth without sin. And yet when he went to the cross, he was the greatest sinner that ever lived, because he had your sin and mine on his shoulders as he hung upon the cross. And so in his great ministry, giving himself for you and for me as he appeared this first time at the end of his life and gave his life for us. This was his first ministry. And then in the 24th verse, we find regarding his second ministry, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, as the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies once a year, a place made with hands. He's not there, but where is he? But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And so Jesus, our high priest, in his second ministry, his present ministry, his heavenly ministry, is now sitting in the highest of all places, the holiest of holies, as he sits at the right hand of God, mediating for you and me, serving as our high priest. Our high priest continually, no succession of priesthood as we had to have through the days of the children of Israel, but a high priest once and for all time. We read in the fourth chapter of Hebrews in verses 14 through 16, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so this high priest who knows our needs. He was born of woman and he knows our needs. He was born of God, the Son of God, so he can talk to God, and he is the one who is mediating for us, our high priest, once and for all. And then the 28th verse, his third appearing when he comes again. And so this Christ, who was once offered to bear the sins of many, the sins of every one of us, if we will confess them to him, and unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And so he who never sinned, yet I say when he went to the cross was a great sinner because he had our sins on his shoulders, but now when he comes again, he will come completely without sin unto salvation. And oh, that each of us tonight might accept and make full use of this salvation that has been so wonderfully provided for us. We can't buy salvation. We don't have money enough in the world to buy salvation. But God has provided through his Son this salvation free of charge. Jesus has bought salvation for you and me with his very blood. And so let us each fully accept this Christ who lived a perfect life and yet bore our sins upon the cross. And let us make full use of our intercessor, our mediator, through prayer and through complete service. And let us look for and pray for and be fully prepared for his coming again when he will come and set up his kingdom here upon this earth. And so it behooves us each one to be ready. We don't know when he is coming. We know he is coming again, and we believe it will be soon. But this same Jesus whom they saw going up into heaven will so come in like manner as they saw him go into heaven. And so when he comes again, we hope that each of us can have a place in that great kingdom. And so what a privilege we have in knowing this Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And so my question is tonight, do you know him as your personal Savior? Have you opened your heart's door and left him into your life so that when he does come again, that you will be in that number that will be called out as the Bride of Christ and can go with him into the marriage feast and can reign and rule together with him and have eternal life in the kingdom of God? And so as we sing the closing song tonight, if there's one or more who has not yet accepted him as their personal Savior, would you come forward, give Brother Martin your hand, and give God your heart, and say, I want to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sin.